prepared to report on the any initial feedback from the consultation on the continuation of funding for the cross solar power scheme. Claire.
Good evening. As you know, this is a consultation, so we have asked for Health Watch to manage that consultation. I believe today we have had 1,850 following responses. I spoke to Joe before Christmas, and because of the pressures and the amount of responses that they've had, agreed with Joe that she would have time to write a full report, which I believe will be extended to the 31st of January, so that we agreed. So at the moment, I am waiting for Joe's full report. What I can say is that we've got a really good response to it. But I feel that having asked Healthwatch to do this work for us, we have to give them a decent amount of time to prepare the report that we have asked of them. So, and I don't want to second guess anything, so I'm quite happy to wait for Joe's report. But I am really glad that we have had Healthwatch do this, and I thank them because they have a lot on their plate to deal with, as without us asking to put that additional pressure on them. So thank you to Healthwatch.
Claire, is it too early, or Joanna, maybe we should be asking Chris and Joanna, is it too early to request that report for the next meeting 3 months ago?
The meeting, that report will be done on 31st of January when it comes to Cabinet first.
Okay,
so I will see that report and then it will be released.
Thank you.
Joanna. Can I ask when that report's going to be published? Because we've had a huge response and we've had an awful lot of feedback. Many people have shared their experiences and many people have specified that they want their stories to be heard. So we will, of course, anonymise all the feedback we've got. It will be really important, I think, to publish the reports.
Yeah, that full report, because it's coming to Cabinet, it will be a report that will be published anyway. It will be in March that it will be published, and it will, as long as everything is completely redacted, I think it's important that people's stories are shared. You know, I've shared more times than I care to imagine, explaining my journey regarding cancer trouble and my dad, because you know, I'm in a position that I can share that story, but I do think it's important that people want their stories shared than they should be. But thank you for that work.
Yeah.
Questions? John?
I'd like to thank whoever put that questionnaire together. They did a brilliant job. But it's very difficult for people. It's to know where the actual finance is going to come from to fulfill the questionnaire. You know, who is actually going to be responsible? Is it going to be asking the ferry companies to contribute, other people to contribute. In other words, the money will come from different areas. Or is it going to be the council will lead on that and they will try and raise the money? Because I'm still very concerned, and we all get questionnaires from our local people who are questioning us, and they worry. You know, especially people on low incomes, how they're able to go and be, you know, we had this last Christmas that money dropped off and the bus wasn't going to run and this wasn't going to work. And it's not fair on people that are being told they've got cancer and they've got something wrong with them to then have to know whether they're going to be supported or not. I mean, I'd like to see a position, I know it's in the sky, but I'd like to see a position where people can honestly go get the diagnostic decision on it and actually know straight away that they're going to be supported in travel, whether they need a car transport to get there because they can't walk, or there's going to be an ambulance, or there's going to be somebody there to help them. And I wonder who is actually going to be responsible at the end of the day.
So, the question this evening is about the consultation for cancer trouble, but I can expect on that, you know, we have a cross-solar patients experience group that is run from this council that reports into the local care board. We also have the cross-solar main travel group, but also we work really closely with health and CCG on the way that we should be future funding all of health travel. At the moment we're talking 60,000, and that's what the consultation out is for cancer travel. We have to remember that that journey can be difficult whatever illness you have. So I'll use the example, when my daughter was 2 years old, she had a perforated appendix. We got rushed to Southampton General. I actually worked for council then, was not classed as a low income because you're on benefits. You do actually get help with your travel and funding. As a single parent, I was there with a child who was seriously, seriously ill. We were a week in intensive care, and at the end of that week, it was, your daughter's better, you can go home now. Now, there was no funding for that at all. That was 22 years ago. You know, I'm now a grandparent. So we have to, with the bigger question is being discussed on health travel. You know, John Mackey, we're looking a bit naked, because it is always the topic that comes back to everything is, how do we fund health travel? How do we ensure that people are done in as much comfort as possible and make journeys as easy? And how many journeys can we prevent that we can have things done better in Ireland? So we're opening up here that whole bigger question. I know that I went to a meeting with Maggie and Martin to see a minister for health. It was a really interesting meeting. Next week, this guy suddenly was all over the news that there was this new Brexit secretary that nobody knew, but I can guarantee that Martin and Maggie and I did, because we had met the week before. So it's lots of work that has been going on to answer that bigger question of health travel. Once that report has come to cabinet on the 60,000 for health travel, then we will just have those, more of those discussions in the public domain, taking into account what is my consultation. But we have to bear in mind that there is that bigger question health travel as a whole, not just
for
cancer travel.
Yeah, okay. Should I just say that it's not only not gathering up these finances and people are prepared to pay, it's a central point where somebody who is has been diagnosed with a certain thing, they've got a problem, that they can bring up to this central point, and somebody can tell them straight away, yes, you can be covered, no, you can't be covered. You know, it's the place to go, you know, if you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. And one of the things that has come out of the patient's experience group is that there should be a leaflet that is done at that group, it's widening of whole travel, not just those, but the bus service and things like that. That we have one document that is produced that gives people that first point of contact. So, and that needs to be wherever you're going to have that diagnosis. So it could be in the hospital, it could be in the GPs. So people have instantly can have a very easy to read document that gives them that advice. I know when my dad was diagnosed, I was with him when it was at hospital, and the last thing I thought of was, how the hell do I get him over his radiotherapy? There was 101 other things that were going through our heads, and not how we were going to do that journey, fund it, or how we were going to go about it. So that has come out of the patient travel group, and it's being looked at to be funded by all the people who were input. So I have to say, Red Funnel, White Link, we're working really, you know, well towards it to get that document that will go into everywhere that it is needed. So when you get that diagnosis, whoever gives it to you can present the document and say, if you are in this situation, this is the help that you can get. Completely agree, it's really, really important that that document is given. And there's a whole thing that's been done on the frequently asked questions and things like that, and we're looking to ensure that they're answered.
Okay, that's well thought out. John, are you finished?
Well, I'm just very pleased that it's worked out like this, because people don't want to be pushed and put at a post to try and chase everything. And if there's one person that can give them an answer and is fair and sane, then it's all done, then it's brilliant.
It's also, part of that document is the myth busting as well. So it's really good to get the very important things in the room, yeah, and get rid of those myths. Because I know when my dad was so seriously ill, he was about radiotherapy, and I was told that he couldn't, he had to come out with colon therapy. That is actually myth. So it doesn't actually have to happen, but it's working with the very companies to to ensure that we change that process and that dialogue is continuing.
All I ask for, Claire, is to be able to, if somebody comes to me and says, I've got a problem, I don't know how to deal with it, I can say, this is the number, bring this number, they will sort it out for you.
Yeah, good questions, John.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I can confirm we've been working very closely with Claire to try and get to the bottom of this, and it sounds really simple, but it's not, because there's a number of different data sets we have to use. We think there's around about 30-odd thousand patient journeys a year, and that sort of changes. What we're trying to do in the work that we're doing is to have as much planned activity on IOM as possible. So, you know, the trust already does chemotherapy and a number of things, but there will always be some things that you have to go to the mainland for, so radiotherapy and specialist services. What we haven't done is it's been very effective in articulating what does it mean for individuals. So if you are on benefits or you're a particular group, you will have your costs covered by the CCG. It's the group where you're not eligible for cover, but there's still going to be significant costs. And so, again, we're trying to quantify that. And I think maybe given the importance of this to such a large number of people, as and when that analysis piece is completed, it would be just useful for us to come back and share with you our understanding of what it means. Because there will still be some decisions to be taken, but at least everybody will hopefully have the same data from which they can then, you know, draw any conclusions that they might have.
Thank you, Chair. And so, Chair, can I just thank Mark and Matt there for their answer? I don't.
I think we've got cause to be confident that the right questions are being asked, and I think we're going to wait until we see the report now. And with that in mind, I've got Michael, Joe, and then Carl. So, provided your questions aren't going back on the same ground.
Sorry, I want to go straight to a proposal, because I actually welcome the consultation and welcome the work of Health Watch and welcome Claire, your due diligence on this matter. What I'm concerned about is in the interim, people are very worried, and that there is a petition at full council. Right, and people are, you know, coming forward and will be speaking very passionately about this issue at full council this week. So I want to put forward a proposal to this committee, you know, because we can only recommend, but I think that we need to recommend. So this is my wording. As consultation regarding crossover travel will not be available to the council before really the finalisation of the 2019-20 budget setting, the committee recommends to Cabinet and full Cabinet that existing funding should continue in 2019-20, so there is sufficient time to devise a long-term funding plan. And I'm looking for a second person.
John.
John is second.
Sorry, Chair, I might just be able to help with the advice if I may. So, just to be clear, full council that I've met in February this year agreed to remove the funding subject to consultation. So it was actually done as part of the 18-19 budget settlement. What the cabinet member has done, she's exercised her delegated powers, so she's retained that funding within the budget, within her cash limited portfolio budget for the rest of this year. And the intention is that for a paper to come back in March to consider that through the cabinet for the next year. So it's not actually, it has been, the decision has already been taken. It could come back to this full council meeting when you set the budget in February, but clearly marked by the outcome of the consultation process. So I think members just need to be clear about that, that we're better off leaving it away from the 1920 budget process. Mm-hmm. Dealing with it as a separate matter, as the cabinet member has alluded to, and then she'll have within her portfolio to move on how she feels relevant.
Can I also say, though, this consultation has gone out to the general public, and I will wait for the report from Joanna. We assume a lot. There are ratepayers here who some people have come to me and said this is a local authority, and we are paying 60,000 of NHS health travel. You are assuming the results of the consultation. I wouldn't do that. I would make sure that I wait and see what the consultation is and the responses that have come back from Joanne and Health Watch, and then make that decision. How are you going to feel as an elected member that you have jumped the gun and assumed the results of that consultation? Because it could surprise you, my councillor Linden.
I'm not assuming that at all. I'm just saying it's very near to the line. And I think that sometimes it's important to give enough time for any kind of change to actually happen. So I actually think my proposal is a recommendation to seriously consider funding into the next financial year to at least until you actually had a final decision. That's what people want to know. That's what they're going to be. All the people that petitioned and are going to be there on full council.
Carol.
Thank you. I feel I should take some responsibility personally for this because, of course, it was myself who, in the previous year, suggested that this could be a budget saving. And it's really, really key. You know, 1,857 people have responded to the 6 week public consultation, which ended on the 23rd of December. So I absolutely fully endorse what my cabinet member has just said in terms of we must listen to those people before we take then those decisions. But let me explain or remind you why I put that proposal up. This 60,000 is really limited, not only in terms of the actual amount, as you've heard Mr. Wakey say tonight, some 30,000 estimated patient trips to the mainland. This covers a mere fraction, a very small fraction of those trips. It covers, it's very limited in terms of what it will cover. Chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and renal therapy. I'll give you an example of a lady who I got to know in terms of the limitations of the current policy. She is, and it looks like it's a very good story for her, suffered cancer, and her treatment wasn't chemotherapy or radiotherapy, it was immunotherapy. But this policy does not cover. So exactly the same condition, but a difference in terms of how the clinician was treating that. So however you look at what the council's currently doing, however you look at it, and you know, and really, really key, people are not only facing really serious health conditions here, you know, with the anxiety that Councillor Hannah has spoken to, but on occasion they will be concerned about loss. There is a scheme if you're on the lowest income. It is available to everybody for every single health condition that they need to go to the mainland to be treated for. However you look at what we're currently doing, you have to ask those questions about existing equity. That is why we put this up. That is why I've set personal responsibility here. I suggested it, and I'm not going to ever duck the fact that I did so. Not with a, you know, an easy or in any way flippant way, but because there is a scheme for people in the lowest income. This is a fraction of the patient journeys which are being made, and the policy itself has run behind what is now, for many people, the clinical interventions that they receive. So you can have the same condition, but our policy in this council will say yes to one and no to another. So how we look towards focusing about how people can get the health care that they require is much larger than the £60,000 only that this council has put towards what is a massive issue for this island. So please don't get in any way waylaid by this is £60,000. It is far a bigger issue than that.
Chairman, may I just a second ask about that? Why is it,
I don't understand that if people work in hospital, or the Isle of Wight Hospital Trust is not able to handle that patient in a local hospital, and they have to go to the mainland because that's where the equipment is. Surely NHS England should actually be involved in this and should finance it. If we haven't got facilities locally, why is it that they don't want to go to the mainland? People would be quite happy to have all this treatment on the island. We can't afford it, I know, in our hospital.
John, I think we've got the question and Martin's going to respond.
Thank you.
So I think the same position designs on the mainland. So there are clinical centres of excellence across the mainland. So for example, if you have radiotherapy or you need a LINAC, there's only a small number of hospitals that do that. I live in the northwest of England. If you need cancer treatment, invariably you're going to go to Christie. I live 60, 70 miles away, as do many other people. So there are hubs where people get sent to. And it's not the local hospital, say, that taking on that liability. It's the commissioning group, generally, that says the best place for your healthcare is likely to be as a specialist centre. And the same issue prevails, which is that there is funding for some people and there is not funding for others. So the added dimension here is the additional cost burden of using the ferries and also the other benefits for using the taxis. Part of the work that we've been doing is trying to determine how much of additional burden that ferry cost is. I have to say, no, not being a full resident on the island, but the ferry companies are very, very generous in the subsidies that they provide. And if you live in the home counties, the chances are you're going to go to London for a lot of your care. In many instances, that can be more expensive. It comes back to the point I made earlier on, Councillor Howe, that we started to get that data together. We understand some of the things that are being said. We don't understand everything. But if we can pull together that information and have a more forthright conversation with the information that allows us to make those conscious decisions, I think certainly from my perspective, and I hope from Claire's as well, we're happy to have that type of debate. But there will be questions that you're wanting to have answers to tonight that we don't have.
No, but your argument about, which I think is about a 70-mile journey in a car with four passengers, so it would probably be maybe 3 gallons of petrol to get there and back, compared to the price it would take for four people to travel to the mainland by ferry.
Not everybody travels in a car, mate.
But also, there was lots of this. I think we're expanding the debate outside of what this question is on the agenda. And I'm quite happy to bring some of the response back from local solo travel. If we start the debate completely about health travel, we'll be here for a week. And I'm quite happy to stay here for a week.
Exactly, Claire. If you want to say something, then we're gonna move on, wrap this up, I think.
The cabinet manager has made exactly the point I was going to make. I think that this is an update on where we've got to with the consultation. Whilst it's a narrative subject, I think the debate will be better informed once we have the results of the consultation.
Now, Joe had a hand up.
Just a very quick one. So I'm really pleased that I know that all statutory sectors are looking at travel because it is huge. And travel is a cause of huge anxiety to people. And it is not just about the money either. It's about the discomforts and anxiety they'll vary when you've just received treatment and you've got severe sickness and diarrhea. When you're in a car, at least, or even on a bus, you can get off. But when you're on a ferry, you kind of stop there. So it's learning about people's whole experiences when they're travelling. But I think that the thing with cancer treatment is that it's prolonged. So lots of people that completed the survey have travelled to the mainland for treatment. Some of them for cancer treatment, some of them for one-off. And many people that travel for a one-off experience are prepared to cover costs because it's urgent, you borrow the money, you deal with it, that's not such an issue. But when you've got to have prolonged treatment over weeks, months, sometimes years, people have to go over for treatment, that's when the costs really, really have an impact on that person. And that's the difference with cancer treatment, because it can be, you know, a very, very long and tiring process. So I just want to make that
point. Thank you, Jo. Carl, is it a question or a statement?
No, I'm going to.
Thank you.
I mean, I will say this council should be ashamed for where it has presented this material to the general public. It has frightened and shocked people right across this island, and it's damaged their mental health. And I can say that as somebody who uses this, it's been presented in a hugely negative way. And the way you've just described it is helpful. I'm not against a review and even expanding this service to other people, because it should be. We should be expanding it, not decreasing it. My question was supposed to be asked at the last scrutiny. So, will the committee, in light of Theresa May's announcement last week about improving funding, £20.5 billion to NHS and prevention service, including public health budget, from which this £60,000 comes, now support the continuation of funding for the Cross Solent Patient Transport Scheme, which is a life-enabling service to the mainland? Will the committee now recommend the removal of this proposal, of the cost-cutting savings proposal, from that proposal, in order to reassure the people of this island and set hearts and minds at ease? That's what I'm asking this committee to look at and consider.
I'm already saying that I don't like funding, because at the end of the day, this is a local authority, and we have done everything we could by having Health Watch to prepare this consultation. At the very beginning of this, I thanked Health Watch for preparing the consultation. We could have done this any more sensitively. We could have asked the local authority to just go out and ask people.
You're not answering the question.
I will finish what I'm saying. So I have thanked Health Watch for working on this consultation so that we can look at it. And we haven't had the consultation report back yet. And when we have, we will give it due consideration. That's what we're doing. You've heard this evening that £60,000, when you are travelling a lot for cancer travel, is not a lot of money. So, what we have also explained this evening.
It saved my life.
Hang on a minute. This is getting a bit out of hand, so we're going to stop it now. Michael made a proposal. Michael, do you want to continue with that proposal, or do you want to? Right, okay. So, have we got a seconder for the proposal? No, Steve wants to ask a question.
No, I just want to make a statement, really. Frankly, I think this proposal at this stage, in this situation, is premature. And we had a situation like this with the LACs last time, where we made a recommendation and a proposal without a report. So please, let's have the report first, then see where to go and what to propose, and do it properly. Thank you.
Brian.
I agree with Steve. I understand what Michael's trying to do, and in many ways, it's a good idea, but it's too early. Let's get the result. It's actually more tangible, and there's still the opportunity for a later meeting to perhaps put that forward again.
Well, I think, given George as well, Michael, I think the committee is of the opinion that well-intended your proposal is, but it's a little bit premature. Do you want to continue with it, or withdraw?
Unless someone seconds it, it falls.
Okay.
Chairman, could I just say that I support Claire on this, but I do believe, quite honestly, we can go directly to NHS England. Am I correct?
Yes.
Right. I think we should somehow, after the see how it turns out full council, that we should start talking or start the air submissions to NHS England. If there's money available, they should be looking at transportation on the island. It should be an NHS-led money, and that's where the money should come from, in my opinion, because if a hospital, which is NHS...
John, I think so. I'm going to wrap this up now.
Yeah.
We've had reassurance.
I've been wrapped up.
We've had reassurance from every partner that this is being fully and deeply looked at and consulting with users, so I think we can't ask for more than that at this stage. So, as well intentioned as all the contributions are, I thank you for your contributions, and I think we'll move on to the next item now, which is of a similar